So we're going to do the famous Gemara, not the whole Gemara. Shabbos Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Shabbos Lamed Gimel Amud Beis is when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai escaped the government and ran into the cave. So we'll do a little bit of the story. As we know, every word of the story, we could literally spend months on it, but we don't have enough time because the food will run out before that. So let's start from the beginning here. The Gemara has quoted a previous story. I'm going to use some article here. In the Brisa quoted above, they gave a title to Rabbi Yehuda. This is how the story begins. The story is brought in Derech Agav. There was a title, there was another story, and it called Rabbi Yehuda, his title, Roish Hamadabrim, which means in English, the MC, the one who runs the organization. Who's the one who speaks up in public, who gets up there, gives drushes? Rabbi Yehuda is the one who does it. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda, listen, that's a good job. It's a government paid job. You get medical benefits. Like, how did he get this job? How did Rabbi Yehuda get such a job? So it says, Hamai Karle Roish Hamadabrim B'chol Makom. Why did they refer to him as the one who always MCs the event and starts speaking? This is that we're going to do part of the story, and we're not the whole story. It says, it once happened, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai were sitting together. Obviously, the beginning of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's story. The three rabbis were sitting together, and there was a fourth one in there. His name was Yehuda ben Gerim. It's machlokes if Yehuda ben Gerim himself was a Gerim, if his parents were Gerim. So there are four rabbis, you know, it's the beginning of a joke, four rabbis sitting around. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and this Yehuda ben Gerim. Pasar Rabbi Yehuda. He's the one who speaks first. Pasar Rabbi Yehuda v'amar, kama noy maishul mazu. Look how great the nation is, the Medina shel Chesed. Look how great the local government is. Look what they did throughout the land. They established marketplaces. They established bridges. They established bathhouses. He's like, this is great. That's how he started the drasha. Rabbi Yossi was sitting there, and you know what his reaction was? Nothing. Shasak. He kept quiet. He didn't say anything. Why that's called next, I don't know if that's the second. Is that a reaction or that's just whatever? He didn't say anything, but calls him as number two. Then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, no. Everything they established only to serve their own needs. They set up marketplaces because they wanted to have Zoinus. They set up bathhouses because they were into Olam Hazeh. They did bridges to connect taxes. This is not, don't get so excited. So no one's denying what they did, the government. The question was the Kavana important by them? So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that Kavana is important. The intent of the goyim, even though they allowed the building codes, but they did. What do you got to do? You got to bribe a building code. How do we get a roof fixed around here? We bribe a building guy. You got the roof fixed. Yehuda said the roof is fixed. That's great. No, you're bribing the guy. No good. What happened? It found out Yehuda ben Gerim, that's the machloikas, if this guy was good or bad, the fourth member of the room, through him, the government found out. And the government didn't like some of this stuff here. So the government made a rule. They said this, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, who elevated the stature of Rome, Yisala, he'll be elevated. His new job is, we trust this guy. You know what? He speaks good about the country. You know what we'll give him? We'll give him an official title, Roy Shamadabrim. He's the MC of every event. Can we trust this guy? Perfect thing for the job for the guy. He's always to be MC. Rabbi Yossi, who kept quiet, didn't call him Reb. Yossi, who kept quiet, what are they going to do with him? They're going to send him to Tzipori. 25. Tzipori, according to Oshka, was a town in the Galilee that later became the seat of Sanhedrin under Yehuda Nasi. Okay, so number one, you got a job for life, you got a lifetime contract. Number two, Golos. And then Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is going to be executed. And then he went and hid in the cave, and that's the rest of that story, which we're not going into tonight. So since last week, we spoke over Chedush HaRim, we'll say another great Chedush HaRim. The Eloi from Poland, the 1800s, started the Gera dynasty. So yes, I'm going to be mixing my stuff with his, but it's basically based on his thing. First of all, the title of Roish Hamadabrim, MC, head of the government, first speaker, speaker of the house, or the press secretary. Why? Because he spoke good about the government. So he now is called Roish, means the first guy to speak. So now we, you know, the circle, how it goes, the egg and the chicken. When did Rabbi Yehuda become the Roish Hamadabrim? After this event that he got the official title? But then why did he speak first this time? The Gemara starts by saying, Rabbi Yehuda got up to speak. He was the first guy to speak. And he said, the government's great. So someone should have said to him, Rabbi Yehuda got up to speak. Rabbi Yehuda, why are you the first guy to speak? At that point in time, he did not have a job from the government as Roish Hamadabrim. That happens later when the government hears about it. So someone should have turned to Rabbi Yehuda and said, what is going on here? Why are you speaking first? I want to speak first. Maybe Rabbi Yossi doesn't speak at all. So, okay, he doesn't want to speak. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai could have spoke. Yehuda ben Gerim could have spoke. So already it's an odd thing. We're giving him a title of a job he already has. Doesn't make any sense, right? We're going to give Dave a title. You buy the food now. Okay, I had that yesterday. I was buying the food. I don't want it. That's not a new title. It's not even chashuv at this point. That's question number one. Question number two, if the government's sending a guy into exile, How do you define exile? The government in exile. Do they have to go to a specific location? They basically told them, get out of here. We don't try. You're in between. Out. You have to know, go out to Tzipori? I don't know. Go out. Zagavek. Why did he say where it was? And Oscar's saying that it was a town that later became the Sanhedrin. Did the town exist at this point in time? When you go through the Chumash and you see about all the Jews in the desert, they're going from city to city, all these places, who named these cities? I mean, it's a desert. Are there cities in the desert? I don't know. So when the Jews get there, they now name the place, or they're just traveling in the desert? Every time there's a name of a city in the desert, in the Gemara, you have to analyze what's the specific name for. Why is there a name? Who named it? What does it exist? A lot of times, Rashi al-Torah, when there's a name of a place, Rashi can say, Al-Shem Asad. I mean, there was no place at that point in time. Al-Shem Asad, I'm naming it for the future events. Sometimes it's because the city was existed later, and sometimes some future event happened, and we named the city, because he used to name cities based on events that occurred. So the question here is, if I'm sending him into Golos, do I have to specify which Golos he's going into? Just say, listen, you can't be local in the city. You're out. You have to go live in the boondocks. I have to say, which boondocks? Okay, so that's one question. Second question. And like, do we care where he goes? Not only did they specify, do we care where he went? He's out. That's it. Goodbye. Now, of course, it's going to come out later. Sanhedrin was there. He set it up first, but that wasn't the game. So he starts like this. It's a cryptic from the Chiddush Harim. He said, let's go through the names of the people. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who becomes the main character in the rest of the story. So he says, the Chiddush Harim, 1800s, I'm surprised nobody said this. This is what he says himself. But I see a connection, and I want to say that the connection has to exist. We know that there were Tanoim in the Gemara that were Gilgulim of the children of Yaakov. That's why when they sold Yaakov, some of them went through the Asar Ruga Malchus. He says, look at this funny story. When else do you have an event? This is an all-time life-altering event here. World history event. Because right after this, three rabbis in the room, you're going to have Rav Shimon bar Yochai going into the cave, coming out, and the world is now a brand new place once Rav Shimon bar Yochai comes out of the cave. So the world changed on this event. So he says, let's go through and decide when else do you have an world history altering event with these three names that occur. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, which is similar to Yosef. The Gemara actually calls certain people Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Shimon, which would be Shimon. So the obvious one that comes to mind is the sale of Yosef. What happened about the sale of Yosef? It says Yosef was coming according to his father's command. He's coming forward, and somebody turned to somebody and said, let's kill this guy. Let's kill this guy. Here comes the snitch. Who was the one who said, Rashi, by the way, you know who did it? Shimon. Shimon was the one who said, let's kill him. Okay. Then they're like, should we kill him, should we not kill him? And who steps forward to protect him? Yehuda steps forward and says, what do we gain by killing him? Let's just throw him into the pit. And who's in the pit? Yosef. So he says, the Chiddush Harim, it has to be that event of also world-altering history event at that moment of time. Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim, the whole Egyptian exile. That's it. It has to be the same three people. Let's start to analyze and see if it makes any sense here. So what did Shimon, the tribe, Shimon HaShevet, from Shevet Shimon, Shimon ben Yaakov, what did Shimon Yaakov Tuif, what he did? He began the process. Remember, he was the first one to say something, and he said, listen, let's kill this guy. What happened to Yosef? Yosef gets sent to Mitzrayim. At what age was he, if you remember? The Chumash tells us, what age was he? 17. When does he show up in front of Paray? How old was he when he showed up to Paray? 30, it says. 30. So how many years, basic math, 17 to 30? 13 years. What was Yosef doing during the 13 years? So part of the time, he was a slave by Potipharah. Part of the time, he was in jail. That's basically what we're reading. Do you know how many years and what and what? The Rishonim say it based on Pesukim and the Chumash, they have Diyukim. The Rishonim come out and basically say that it was 1 year as a slave. It took her 1 year to have that famous monumental event where she tried to get him. And then he went to jail for 10 years. And he would have got out after 10 years, but he might have said something wrong. He asked his Harim Mashkin for help, whatever that means. 2 more years. So basic. 1, 10, and 2. 13 years. How many years was he in the jail? For 12 years and the 1 year. Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Rav Shimon ben Yaakov, the tribe, created that Yosef was in jail for these years. So his punishment in a future Gilgal is going to have to be to what? going to jail. Mida keneged mida. How many years was Rav Shimon bar Yochai in jail? I think the story says it openly, right? In the cave. Well, I mean, a cave in jail, that's not a stretch. That's not a stretch. I'm reading the Gemara openly. It says they, because it was a son. They dwelled secluded in the cave for 12 years, and then 13 years altogether. It's the same division of 12 and 1. And Yosef added it to his years. Shimon bar Yochai added it to his years. He came out the first time, he sent them back in. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai, 13 years punishment to Yosef, he was went back 13 years. Happens to be, Reb Eli said something to me on Shabbos, a Yesoid Gadol, which we know from many, many places in Chumash and Tanakh, many places. But the Yesoid is that sometimes, we didn't do it in Esther yet because we only didn't get far enough, but the Yesoid is that sometimes people knew about a negative prophecy that was going to occur. And in order to fulfill the prophecy in a minor way, they would go through the motions. So Rebellion's example was from the Akedah that the person would walk in, the Kohen Gadol would walk in last week's parasha. The Kohen Gadol would walk in to the Kachay Kachim wearing Big Day Lovin. Now, why was he wearing a Big Day Lovin? First happens, so Rashi says you can't bring the golden, but the Akedah says that because since when a person goes in, there's a good chance Kohen Gadol, he's not coming out. Or if he's coming out, lifespan is very limited. So he would put on the clothing like a Big Day Mason. It's like Big Day Mason. Big Day Mason, by the way, is Asabano. So the clothing of the Kohen Gadol every year, post Kohen Gadol, was Nichem Sham. Can't use them. Why? So what was Rav Eli telling me. The reason why you're going to bury the clothing is because they're Big Day Mason. Why was the guy wearing the white clothing? So on this thing as well, since he knows he's going into a dangerous place, part of putting on the Tachrichim is to fulfill it. I fulfilled it. I'm already considered dead. I'm wearing my Tachrichim. You fulfill it by doing something minor. That's what you always try to do. We said then, Reb Eli was telling me, that what's the shot you put Haman wanted to hang Mordechai over the house? It's a weird thing. Eventually we'll get there, hopefully. Why is he building something over the house? Because Haman had a nevuah that Mordechai is going to rule over his house. It's not going to happen. Mordechai ruled over his house. So he figured, I'm going to have him over my house. I'm going to hang him above my house. And not Haman only had this idea. Achashverosh had this idea. Because Achashverosh knew in a prophecy that the Jews were going to take over his malchus. Taka happened. Esther's child is a Jew. So what did he want to do? Who's the biggest Jew in the world? Oh, Mordechai? Bring him in there. What are we going to do with him? Let's make him king for a day. This whole concept exists of fulfilling a prophecy, which means you do something minor to fulfill the negative prophecy and say, instead of it being this bad, it's going to be this bad. Or this good. It depends what it is. So Haman says, I want Mordechai over my house, hoping that it will fulfill the prophecy over his house. Achashverosh is hoping. The Kohen Gadol is walking in hoping. You know what Yosef HaTzadik was also doing? Yosef HaTzadik is coming out of jail. He becomes, what's that word? Viceroy? Is that the word they use? Whatever that word is. Okay, we're not using that word again. Fine, but at least you guys know what it is. You have better English than I did.
Second in command.
Vice president. So what does Yosef do his first act of vice president when he meets the brothers? He takes one of the brothers. He says, you got to stay here as collateral. Let me send the breast back because I want to meet Binyamin. But one guy stays here. Who stays here? Rashi tells us he figured out through the Pesukim that, of course, it's going to be Shimon. Shimon's going to be in the jail because he wants to separate Shimon and Levi. But according to what we're saying, not very simple. Yosef understood. Listen, Shimon, my brother, you know what happened the last 13 years? I was in a hole in the ground in Egypt. Life expectancy in the hole in the ground in Egypt was probably 25 minutes. Right? There is nothing good going on there. And you, that was the first one who started this whole process here, somewhere along the line, if it's not now in round one, somewhere down the road in history, you're going to have to pay for this. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in jail right now. And hopefully, with me putting you in jail, I'll fulfill the prophecy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had different reasons why it didn't work in all these cases. Remember, Haman putting him on top didn't work. Achashverosh for the day didn't work. It doesn't always work. It's a good strategy. So what happened was, he put Shimon in jail. Didn't work. You know what happened to Shimon later on? Shimon by Yochai later on was stuck in a pit in the ground. It's a cave. Maybe it's a cave above ground. I don't know. Did they ever describe the cave above ground, below ground? Not sure. Okay, either way, he's in his jail cell. So the whole idea of Yosef HaTzadik was not to stam putting Shimon in jail. Everything's with a cheshbon. They're going through these motions. Now, Yosef, it says, what does it say by Yosef? What was Yosef doing here? Did he deserve any punishments? Yosef did, again, quotes, heavy quotes around the words. He did a couple of things wrong here. Early on, he, again, quotes, he snitched on the brothers. Got punished for that. Dibasimra. Later on, it says he died first. Why did Yosef HaTzadik die, predecease all his brothers? So one of the answers is because he heard the brothers not knowing who he was. When they thought he was vice president, they referred to Yaakov, there is including everybody. All of them together was their father, and they referred to him as a slave. You're a slave, because he was vice president. You're a slave, our father, you're a slave, our father's slave. And Yosef didn't say at any point, I can't hear those words. He didn't do it. Question, we heard it 5 times and said 10 times. That's, so therefore, he lost years of his life. So that means Yosef had an issue with the words he did speak and the words he did not speak. Either he spoke dibasamra against the brothers, or he did not speak up and say, oh, I don't want to hear that word again. So Yosef has an issue. What does it say over here? What did I just say the phrase in the Gemara was? They said, when they were talking about it, did I just lose the place? No. Right? But what was Yehuda, She'ila, Yehuda who went up, Yisala. Yosef, same thing. She'shasak. It doesn't mean also right now he was Shasak. I don't know if Shasak is even doing anything. He was Shasak, so he sent him to. Where are you sending this guy to? Tzipori. What's the word Tzipori in English? Mark, stop it. Stop it, Mark. The birds. What are the birds famous for in Judaism? They chirp. That's why the Lashon Hara Nicks, I have to bring the birds, the Metzora. So the reason why the Gemara doesn't mean the Roman guy had any idea what he was doing. Most Goyim have no idea what they're doing. Hopefully most Jews do know what they're doing. But most Goyim have no idea what they're doing. But when they sent him to Tzipori, him, of course, meant Reb Yossi, but him also meant the Gilgal of the Neshama of the original Yossi. I asked you before, Yehuda started this conversation. And he said, oh, Yehuda, you started, you're Reish Medarbon. So we asked, you already started the conversation first. He already was there, he had the job. He bought the pizza like David did. I new job, buy pizza. It's my old job. So the words are, when it says Yehuda was the Reish Medarbon, it meant he's the one who spoke up first. In protection. Because when the original story happened, what did we say occurred? Shimon said, let's kill this guy. And Yehuda said, no, take a step back. What do we gain? Let's put him in the pit. The process of saving Yosef began with Yehuda. So Yehuda now earned for his future Gilgal, Rabbi Yehuda, to have the Rosh Hamadabra. Now, I know what you said. The three rabbis were Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. So we're saying Rabbi Yehuda was a Gilgal of Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi is a Gilgal of Yosef. And Rabbi Shimon is a Gilgal of Shimon. Of Shimon, the original Shimon. Now, we obviously celebrate Lag BaOmer in different ways. In Mila Sfira. Sfira is considered a negative time. It's not a good time. Sfira is not a good time. Right? We're not shaving. It's a days of mourning with the U. M-O-U-R-N. Days of mourning. But in the middle of the whole morning, we have a celebratory bonfire. We get good food finally. And everyone's going in a good mood. What are we doing here? Oh, it's Zeichet to Rabbi Shimba Yechai. We're not going to all those connections right now. Lag BaOmer to Shimba Yechai. There's a connection there. Okay, what? So according to this, we want to say Chedush Harim. Chedush Harim is telling you like this. Things look bad. You may sphere, bad. But don't look at a story what's right in front of you. Because you see from this story of these three rabbis, Rabbi Shimba Yechai is sitting in a cave. He has to realize, yeah, he's sitting in a cave. But you know why he might be sitting in a cave? Because, I don't make the cheshbon. It could be 2,000 years. It's a long time earlier. Shimon ben Yaakov, to Shimon ben Yechai, that's a long time. That's a long time. Which means the events you're looking at are not limited to this event. So if something's bad happening, okay, yeah, but understand, you know who's in control of the whole thing? Who's figuring out that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon means Yehuda, Shimon, and Yossi? You know what that means? That means there's a master plan going on here. When people recognize that there's a master plan going on, most of the time, the negative, depressing, mourning with a U becomes celebratory. Because you're not looking at it, what did this person, woe is me. There's no woe is me when the events are tied into 3,000 years. Because, yeah, maybe it's woe is you, but you don't know what you did last time. But the idea is, the woe is me gong disappears when you're looking at a bigger picture of 1,000 years. And not only bigger picture of 1,000 years, the bigger picture of 1,000 years is about Kadosh Baruch Hu in control to the minutia of the detail. Of the, not this 13 years, it's 12 plus 1. It's not just going to be a cave, it's going to be, everything's going to start matching up. When you're looking at things that match up, it's all automatically puts you in a good mood. I want to answer this different question. On this sugya, which we're not going into, it's a very serious question. Marsha talks about everyone asked. They have a question here. What's going on here with Rabbi Yehuda praising the Goyim? First episode. There's maybe a potential issur of a 613 commandment, Lo Yisichonim. Lo Yisichonim, technically allowed to praise the guy. What was this gang of getting up there and praising the guy? For what? So according to the Chiddush HaRim, we're going to get into this maybe more this Shabbos, or maybe next Thursday or next Shabbos, depends on how much time everything gets spread out here. But we said on Shabbos that Avraham Avinu was tied into Rus. But there's another story we're about to do also. So far we spoke about Rus with Balak, and we spoke about Rus with Avraham Avinu and Lot. There's also another one, that David's dynasty, and that's Yehuda and Peret. After the story of the selling of Yosef, the Chumash then says that Yehuda went out and they took him out of his malchus. They told him, Yehuda, you're not that impressive. If you would have really stood up and said, save Yosef, we would have really saved Yosef. You're Reisha Medabram now. And you didn't do it. You halfway did it. And therefore, Yehuda went to marry Ish Kanani. What's the phrase, Rebelli?
Bas Ish Kanani.
And there's a clear, Rashi says right away, the most obvious question. Yehuda, you're marrying a guy? Stop it. Can we say such a thing? Rashi right away has to say, by the way, Kanani might mean a businessman. We're going to figure it out. But Yehuda's leaving. The Chumash says, and Rashi says it there also, that when this event was occurring, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you guys are crying, Sakfa'e, for a small picture, not big picture. You know what the big picture is? The big picture is, I'm starting to get you Mashiach. And out of the mice of Yehuda is going to come Mashiach. Out of the mice is going to come Mashiach. So this week, in Mitzvah on Shabbos, we're going to talk about the idea, this concept exists, that when it comes to, Yehuda was Malchus. When it comes to Malchus, we believe David HaMelech comes from Rus. The Kotzka, the Heliga Kotzka, Shver of the Chedushim we started with, father-in-law of the Chedushim, has a phenomenal idea. And Shem Shmuel talks about it. In order to have certain traits, and specifically kingdom, kingship, the Jews had to mix Goyisha blood in them. They couldn't handle Jews. A Jew can't rule over another Jew in the proper way. It's not possible. It's not in our DNA. The only way to get there, to have a guy say, Ich bin du, I'm the boss, you're going to work for me as an army, you're going to build buildings. The only way is you had to mix in Goyish blood. And Amon Amoyev had that ability in their DNA to mix in Goyish blood into the Jewish blood, which meant they're able to say now, David HaMelech comes from that, he's able to be a king. The Goyish blood mixes into the Jewish blood. So you could say like this, Yehuda's going as a king, and he's Yehuda is Yehuda. It's the same Yehuda. In fact, the Chiddush Rambam even says, Yehuda She'ila means that you are oila to Gdula of being a king. So what's Yehuda going to marry Bas Ish Kanani? It could be that Yehuda understood this whole idea. Oyre Shamashiach. That right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rashi says that as the brothers was sold off Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yaakov is crying and Yosef, but don't worry, I'm working on Mashiach right now. So Yehuda, subconsciously or consciously, is thinking the same thing. I'm gonna go start the Mashiach Malchus. How do I get the Mashiach Malchus? You gotta mix in some of that Goyish blood. So I'm gonna go and I marry a Kanani, whatever Kanani. The concept is that when we're looking at events, don't look at the small picture. Try to look at the big picture. But the big picture, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu is minutiae of the detail, working everything else. And that's why when we go through on Lag BaOmer the story of Reb Shimon bar Yochai, we say, you know what? It's weeks of mourning with a you. But it's morning without a you, because hopefully Mashiach will come b'karav. Amen.